definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome into the End of the Bench here on a Friday, where we will take you up until noon and hand you off to the bottom line. Lots of fun things going to happen today as we get through to the weekend. We got baseball tonight with Texas Tech and West Virginia, a good West Virginia team that's swept its last two conference competition series. They took down Kansas at Hoagland Ballpark in three. The Red Raiders still have to go to Kansas. They then hosted UCF, who at that point was the only Big 12 team ranked. They swept them, and they beat Pitt this week. So this is a West Virginia team that's on fire, and we'll break that down, some of that, as we get through our day today. It is a Dos Jefes edition of the program, along with Lucas White, Jeff McGuire in for David Collier, who's traveling about. Good morning, Jeff.
Morning, Jeff. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm way behind you because you've been up since 4.
Yes. So
whenever.
4:15 is when I finally got out of bed today. I had the windows open last night, so I had a nice cool breeze.
It was
a little hard to get out of bed this morning.
It was really sweet, man. It was like really refreshing, and just step outside, and it was a little north breeze. It just kind of picked the spirits up yesterday. I had a lot of fun. I got lucky with timing because I've been gone so long. Been gone a week. I get back just in time for my daughter's dance recital at Friendship. This ought to tell you what I think of my little girl. She's in high school. She's a sophomore. And I drove to Friendship Middle School to watch her program. It was not being held at Friendship Middle School. I was in the wrong place. And I was like, you idiot. She is in high school, you moron. And so I shot the U-turn and went over to the high school in the Performing Arts Center.
Did you make it on time?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I sat down and the lights went out.
Oh, well, there you go. Were you there in time to get the video camera going?
Jen was taking care of that because okay, I forgot my phone. I mean, I was all out of sorts. And so I sat down, the lights went out, and I was like, okay, well, that was good. You made it. Didn't miss a thing. A lot of talented people over there at Friendship High School, because they, you know, probably had 12 different dance numbers that they did.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that got me was the one Cameron was in. And she, when the lights came on, she was the most beautiful thing I'd seen since my wife walked down the aisle.
Aww. That's a proud father right there.
Oh,
folks.
My gosh. I was beaming, just over the moon and teary-eyed. And I think it's probably because exhaustion from being on the road the 7 days and missing everybody. But to see her do her thing with that smile and the way that she danced was just fantastic. So proud of a lot of those kids because they're very talented. And that was that was an awesome Thursday evening to get to see that. And then came home and threw a few ribeyes in the skillet and had some steaks. Doesn't get much better.
There you go. So I got a question for you, Hacks. You've been running around with Red Raider baseball for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you listened to the morning drive today or not, but I am in the mood to raise all boats. I am a rising tide today.
Okay.
Whether you're down in the dumps, whether you're already riding high, whatever the situation is, I'm trying to bring everybody up, and we're going to run through walls. We're not running around them. We're not running over them. We are going through them, and we are knocking them down and bringing people with me. What are your top five Red Raider baseball moments?
Okay. Well, number one is Cameron Warren into right field. Cody Masters into right field, and Cameron Warren scoring from first base against Arkansas, eventually getting Arkansas eliminated. So that's caught on all one moment. That's my favorite win that I've called with Texas Tech was sending the Hogs home. And now that we've seen, you know, I've called all these other games with Arkansas too, and Dave Van Horn, unfortunately, is 6-1 against the Red Raiders in his time. We got a baseball here today too. Be nice to rub up a little bit, Lucas. The first game that I called in Omaha, Florida, beating the Gators when you were big-time underdogs. Grant Little's catch in left field is the highlight of that one. Brian Klein played very well. Cam Warren's home run into the left field bleachers at TD Ameritrade, then TD Ameritrade. The first trip to Omaha would be fourth. That would be Texas Tech against Duke. Things fell in line so nicely for you there because you were scheduled to go play Georgia in the Super Regionals, and Georgia just got rolled by the Blue Devils. And since you were the higher-seeded team, you got to host Duke. So that would be four. And then number five, Super Regional against Oklahoma State, game three. Fanning, the guy that was such a – he didn't look like an athlete, but he was a tremendous athlete and baseball player. Getting him to swing and miss at a pitch that eventually sent you to Omaha, excuse me, with the biggest shootout that you can imagine between two conference rivals. Those are five pretty good ones right there. I'm sorry, I got the hiccups. Those are five pretty good ones right there.
I'm impressed you made it through with that, with the hiccups going there. Hiccups are one of those things in radio that everybody immediately feels bad for you because they've all experienced it, and there is nothing that you can do at all.
Get to the break.
You mentioned five really, really great ones. There's one that was before your time here that also jumps out. And I mean, I asked for when you were here.
Yeah.
Another great one is the Conley catch.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember watching that moment. And the ball is hit, and you're like, that's a double. Mm. That's right in the gap. There's no way. And even the TV camera's panning, and it's just, there's no shot of anybody even close to it. And then here comes Conley flying out of nowhere, Superman style, sliding and making the catch. And it's not even like a situation where you can pretend to say he had it all the way. He is the only one on the face of the earth
that thought he
was going to get it, and makes the catch. And there's a look on his face in the picture, and it's a picture we've all seen a thousand times of it.
Yeah, it's up in the club level.
And he's got this face like, do you believe what I just did? He's got that look on it that is just amazing. I love the back-to-back-to-back wins. I love the Scarlet and Black are back, going back to Omaha. I love the... I mean, really, any of the trips to Omaha are great. One that it's not an audio call. When Goot hit the home run in the College World Series, Dallas Braden is on the call on the TV broadcast, and he doesn't say a word, but he is doing what every Red Raider fan is doing silently, and that's a great moment.
Yeah. I like it. Raise those boats. We got more coming up. Headlines are next.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hi, hello, how you doing here on this Friday? 100.7 The Score is the station. First United Bank Studios is where we're at. Dos Jefes edition of the program. We thank you for being with us. A little bit of a slow start, but we're going to get it rocking and rolling. Lucas White's across the way. Got some band music, some college band music to play coming up here in just a little bit.
As in marching band?
As in marching band.
As in, or as music that can't be played.
We're going to do we're gonna do one marching band song a day for the foreseeable future.
Getting ready for football season?
I'm already there, dude. I'm like, I don't know why. It usually hits me in July.
It's not even payday of April yet.
I know.
That's tomorrow. I mean, technically, I think we got paid today.
Yeah, but
we still got May and June with the College World Series. And
I know.
Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which again, July 4th with the parade.
I know.
Man, you're jumping
the gun on
me
here.
And
I love all that stuff, but I'll tell you what it is. It's a stupid college football game. Video game.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you. Lucas, are you getting NCAA football 2024 when it comes out? Okay, I'm going to tell you. The exact same thing I'm telling everybody on this game. I will not be purchasing it. I never got into it when it was out. I was an NFL Blitz guy. Okay. Like, I didn't need the accuracy that you need to be playing the NCAA game. I hope for all of you that EA has learned their lesson from what they did with Star Wars. Star Wars Battlefront 2, by the same people who are involved.
Yeah.
With NCAA 2024. Do you know how hard it is to get Star Wars fans not to play a Star Wars game? You got to have that as the goal. Disney dang near pulled it from them for how bad they screwed that up. I do not want them to do that to you guys. You guys don't deserve it.
No,
I am pulling for you 1,000%.
Do you remember
do not trust EA as far as I can throw them.
Do you remember the video game Star Fox?
I do. I do remember Star Fox.
It was a cool little game.
It was a cool little game. But for you guys, I am praying.
It's going to be great.
I hope and pray that you are right. I don't pray for anything, and I am praying for you guys on this because of how much you guys want this game to be right.
It'll be right.
I am worried you're going to get generic characters for every team. And you've got to buy loot boxes to unlock loot crates and combine 1,600 cards in order to get one player.
Don't.
That's what I'm worried
about. Like, you got to buy a tier to get the fight songs.
Yes.
And stuff like,
that's what I'm worried about.
If they do that to me, oh boy, it's going to get rough.
And I am hoping and praying for you guys.
You got to buy a tier to get all the mascots.
Yes.
The mascot tier. Where's Raider Red? Well, you got to buy Raider Red. What?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I hadn't even thought about that, Jeff, till you brought it up.
But it makes sense. Like, think of what they did with FIFA and NBA and NBA 2K and all of those.
And what they do to the kids with Fortnite. Like, if you want to compete, you got to buy skins, you know?
The skins are for show. And if you've got to buy a kit to get different uniform combinations, like there'll be a red, black, and white for the Red Raiders. There'll be an orange, white, and I guess it's just orange and white for the Longhorns. Like, your generic blank school colors with the logo is what everybody will get, and then you need to upgrade to get specific uniforms.
Don't do that.
I'm okay with that, because then you're just looking pretty. It doesn't affect the game. It's the rosters that I'm worried about. It's the things that you need in that game to make it work right for what you're just watching. That's what I worry, that they're going to nickel and dime you guys to death.
I hadn't even thought of this, but it's so true. Unfortunately, it is so stinking true.
I'm not ruining anything, Marquise. I'm just warning people. These people dang near killed Star Wars, the video game, that people would line up and play for years.
Yeah.
And it was the most, and I realize that you guys don't, that this doesn't really matter, but EA's announcement of the game was the most downvoted thing on Reddit ever. Because that's how many people of Star Wars fans that they ticked off for how they screwed that game up. And it was all these little purchases that you could make in order so you could play the game, and everybody was pissed.
Okay, well,
I'm praying that they don't do that.
I feel horrible.
I'm not trying to.
But I do feel more prepared for possibilities of stuff. All right, Lucas, let's check this calendar here.
Your daily look at what's happening in the world of sports, birthdays, and holidays. Let's check the calendar.
Bicycle Day, Education and Sharing Day, Humorous Day, John Parker Day, National... John Parker Day.
Who's John Parker?
Don't know. National Amaretto Day, National Chicken Parm Day, National Garlic Day, National Hanging Out Day, Oklahoma City Bombing Commemoration Day, Rice Ball Day. There you go. It is the
French and Indian War veteran from 1729 fought in Lexington and Concord, and the Battle of Lexington happened today in 1778. I'd have to look. No, it was 1774. Take that back. It was before the Declaration was signed, because one of the arguments was that for the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I hate that I know this. One of the arguments was for people that were looking to reconcile with England was that King George has already declared them in rebellion and we've already fought blood. The only people who don't know that we're actually in a revolution right now are the people in this room. I'm sorry.
History minor there.
I could have if, you know, Texas Tech thought I should take some time off from class, and I thought that was a good idea, too.
Again, bombing anniversary for Sokies and what happened in downtown Oklahoma City.
And Waco.
And wait, today Waco's the 19th. There's all kinds of crazy good documentaries out there. And almost like soap opera is how they break it down for Waco especially, but all of it very depressing, but also you learn a lot. Did you happen to dig out any birthdays today?
Oh, there's so many birthdays today. Yes. Give me 30 seconds here. M-O-U-S, like going through the list, Hayden Christensen, 43. Let's go with James Franco, 46. Kate Hudson, 45. Suge Knight, 59. Best.
Is Suge Knight in prison?
I think so.
I think he is.
Best evil laugh in movies.
Vincent Price.
Vincent Price, that's a really good answer. I would put him second to Tim Curry.
Okay.
His birthday today. He's 78 years old today.
Wow. Tim Curry.
Let's see here. Shakar O'Neal, Shaquille's son.
Okay.
He's 21. Maria Sharapova, 37. See, I told you there were some good ones today.
I'm sorry, I missed the age. I was just thinking about her.
37. If I were to tell you best hair in the NFL, future Hall of Famer, I think. If not already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I see
Pittsburgh
him.
Steeler.
Oh, Troy Polamalu.
There you go. 43 today.
Doing very well with Head & Shoulders commercials still.
Very well with Head & Shoulders. Yeah. And if you ever want to like think of a guy who should be sponsored by a hair care product, it should be Troy Polamalu.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's your birthdays.
Incredible locks. The middle of the lineup for Arkansas was back-to-back Hawaiians. Vihivi Aloy and Souza was the kid's last name, back-to-back. And the Souza kid's brother is coming to Tech next year to play baseball.
There you go.
We'll have some Hawaiian blood. It's been good to the Big 12. We've had some big-time Hawaiian baseball players come through here. I always think about though when they're hitting and the step they had to make out to say, well, we're going from the beaches to Arkansas or Lawrence, Kansas.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hour number two of the End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score. 100.7 The Score. .com. It's a Friday. We got baseball coming up tonight. Texas Tech and West Virginia. The Mountaineers are doing really well this year. 11-4 in conference play, I believe, is their record. They will be here kind of bringing their weather with them. Usually when we go up there, it's cloudy, cold, and rainy. And that's kind of what we're going to have, it looks like, periodically through this weekend, especially tomorrow. A Dos Jefes edition of this program. Lucas White is behind the glass, and we want your thoughts, comments, and questions on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. All right, we got this put together here and presented quite nicely and easy to read. Data for grand total athletic revenue in millions. And this is supposedly new data, whichever one you want to say.
Are you a Star Trek fan or are you not a Star Trek
I'm
fan?
I'm not.
That's pretty much where that line is drawn.
Data, then, or data?
Data or data. Like that. That's when the big shift happened for when it went from data to data. Oh, wait, from data to data, excuse me, because of Lieutenant Data.
Okay.
Again, things that I know.
Who's number one, Jeff?
University of Texas.
That'd be correct. $261 million in revenue. Think about all the big budgets, the travel, and everything that goes with having to run a massive athletic program. They're still toting in $261 million. And I don't know what this includes, if it's NIL, if it's donations, if it's whatever. It just says revenue. Number two is Ohio State. Number three is Notre Dame, USC.
See, I would have thought Notre Dame was two.
Georgia, Michigan. The first appearance from the Hateful Eight is
Oklahoma?
They're not in the Hateful Eight. They're now in the SEC.
Oh, okay. So you're talking old Big 12. Texas Tech.
Kansas at $206 million.
My fault. I forgot about basketball getting luxury seats. My fault.
Kansas.
I knew better than that.
Kansas, Penn State, LSU, and Nebraska rounds out the top 10 with $197 million.
That's a lot of cash lean, man.
From 11 through 20, A&M, Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, you go four straight SEC teams, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Stanford, which that one surprises me, Florida, Arkansas, Florida State.
The only thing about Stanford that doesn't just surprise me on that is because of their travel, and they have so many athletic programs that I imagine a lot of it is that.
21 through 30, Iowa, Kentucky, South Carolina, Miami, Louisville, Washington, Duke, Clemson, TCU is the next.
Really?
On the Big 12 list, followed by Michigan State. All right, so now we've been through 30 schools. Give me your guess on where Texas Tech is.
43.
50.
Okay.
$124 million. Now it's a tie for actually 47, I think, 48. Missouri, they're tied with Missouri and Purdue.
Tied for 47, 48, no, tied for 48,
49, 50,
yes.
Oregon, with all of its Nike money, is at 42.
Hasn't some of that slowed down, though, the Nike money at Oregon?
Maybe just a tiny bit. Oklahoma State is 53 at $119 million. West Virginia, now we're really starting to get into it here. And this is, again, it's got me worried. Everything's got me worried about this new move towards everything being SEC and Big Ten. Because now, when we've gone a long way with just few schools toting big revenues, now we get to 59 Utah, 60 BYU, 61 West Virginia, 62 Kansas State, Iowa State, 65. Houston, 69. UCF, 67. Cincinnati, 72. They're all kind of grouped together and all in the middle of the pack. This list goes all the way to 127. So at the top, Jeff, we had over 200. Was it 260 for Texas? Yeah.
Yeah.
261. The very bottom?
14.
19.
Close.
Yeah.
19. Close is a blind guess. That's close.
$19 million for UL Monroe. You know, I always considered Southern Miss a pretty good athletic program that's got a decent baseball team and has had good football teams in the past. They're down here at 123. So you get into your Northern Illinois and UTEP's, sorry, Carlos Silva. So is it more money, more problems, or is it more money or you get left behind?
The way I look at the money issues in athletics is the same way I look at the Yankees and Red Sox for a while in Major League Baseball.
Okay.
Does more money buy you a championship? No. Because the Yankees had the most expensive roster, the Red Sox had the most expensive roster, and they didn't necessarily win. Dodgers have had the most expensive roster recently in Major League Baseball, and they haven't won.
But the Rangers won.
It buys you more chances.
Okay.
It enables you.
We hear so many times margins for error.
Yes.
It widens your margin.
It widens the margin for error. When you look at a small market organization, whether it be a college or a pro team, their margin of error is a lot thinner. They need to hit on their things in order to win. You can still compete that way.
And their time, and now I'm thinking obviously of the A's, their time might come once every 8 years instead of
once every four or once every
yes.
two. Yeah. It gives you opportunities. It doesn't guarantee anything. Because when was the last time Texas was in the national championship game in any sport? Vince Young?
Boy, is it
not counting. Oh, Big Four, I should say. Big Four. We're not going to be looking at.
That's 23 years ago.
They've been to Omaha, but they haven't been in the championship game.
Wasn't that 2001? Or am I off? No, it's 2005, something like that. No, I was with ORU. That was like 2006 or 7,
yeah.
I think.
So more opportunities and more interest, and I'd like to be that problem someday. I've never experienced that problem. I've heard owning a boat and owning a plane is expensive. I'd like to be able to afford that expense. Let's just see how it goes. Maybe I can figure it out.
Yeah.
Maybe I've got the answer.
You know, I never wanted anything to do with boats.
I want the money that you can have when you have the boat. Yes.
But now I'm starting to, I don't know. The further along I've gone, the more I've liked the lake life. Just really starting to dig it.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
My thoughts on the uniform thing are pretty simple, and they tend to only pertain to college because the NFL is, I don't know, a different animal, and they've done Color Rush, and they've done quite a few crazy things already. With Major League Baseball, you see City Connect that you're like, okay, what does that mean? And boy, those aren't our colors. And, Boston goes with the blue and the yellow for the marathon day and Boston Day, or what there's a name for it when they do the marathon. And the Sox play at home. But my thoughts are, if you're a true blue blood, and you have a look that's so recognizable, that's unmistakable, and that brand has brought you so much good success, along with the product that you've put on the field, you may tinker with it for just a little bit, but don't go straying too far from the formula. If you don't have a great tradition, if you're trying to fight your way up and compete with everybody else, go crazy. I just don't go crazy, but don't go so far that you like Oklahoma State used to try to wear gray. Stupid. It looked awful. They wore gray on their uniforms two or three times a year for a 5-year period. Now, thankfully, that's gone. That's done. And they don't do it anymore. And they settled back on a more classic look that combines a little bit of new and a lot of old with the Barry Sanders era Oklahoma State across the front of the jerseys and orange and black. Awesome. Oregon started this whole thing with a college where, you know, you're wearing who knows what. But If you're Penn State, don't touch it. If you're Michigan, Texas, OU does the Rough Rider thing, and I think they look like Indiana when they do that. I think that's a stupid move for Oklahoma, but they do it once a year. Because their look, as much as I hate it, it's a good look. So don't get in there and mess around too much if you're a blue blood. And you know what those are. Like, I don't remember Florida State touching their style. Michigan's never. Penn State's never. The worst one out there is Maryland. I'm sorry, Lucas. Because you like what they do, don't you? Why?
I mean, they represent... Their colors are basically the state flag with the yellow and the black.
I know, but it's a crazy flag.
I know, it's a crazy flag, but I mean... I like the red jerseys. I mean, I like the solid red with the flag helmet. That's probably my favorite, which isn't, like, obscured and, like, crazy, but that's my favorite scheme. And then the basketball, I like the all-yellow that Maryland has.
I do like that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
By the way, Gary Parrish put out his top 10 for the upcoming basketball season.
The college basketball?
Yeah. The way too early.
It's April and the portal is open. He's doing a top 10.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
here we go.
Dude. Hang on. I'm going to say Connecticut is in the top 10.
Fifth.
I'm going to say Kansas is in the top 10. I'm going to say Duke is in the top 10.
Seven.
I'm going to say North Carolina in the top 10.
Three. Keep going.
I'm
going
to say, let's see, who else is a known national power of every year? Let's go Baylor?
Yeah.
That's where I missed one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got to get like a West Coast school that's going to the Big Ten. I don't know if Stanford would be mentioned. UCLA is not there. Give me East or West Coast.
Why don't you just go further south from Waco?
Texas? Further south from Waco? Oh, Houston. Yeah, Houston makes sense. They got a good team coming.
Two.
Is there a lot of Chris Love? Not Chris Love. A lot of Chris Beard love here?
No.
I don't think they would have put Ole Miss in the top 10.
You were really cocky with your... You're not going to get the rest, probably. Gonzaga, 6.
I should
say Auburn, 8. Purdue, 9. Creighton 10.
I would have missed three of those. I should have gotten Gonzaga.
All right, I don't know if I have too many questions, but I have one burning question that I have to fire out. So let's do this.
2 minutes of nonstop in-your-face inquiries with no end in sight. It's time now for burning questions.
Have you ever been awakened by a voice that wasn't spoken?
Like
you dreamed a voice
waking you up,
yelling to wake you up.
Not that I like vividly remember, but I don't know that I haven't.
This happened to me yesterday.
Okay.
I was taking a nap. We're getting close to Mickey pickup time. I have my alarm set. 2 minutes before my alarm, I hear Jeff in my wife's voice. I wake up, there's no one around.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, surely she wouldn't snipe me like that, like open the door, Jeff, and then close the door.
Right, no.
So I saw her later. I go, did you yell at me? She's like, no, she's sick. You know, she's been asleep. It was a weird deal.
I can't say that I've ever done that. I have... had multiple times the waking up thinking that it's later than it is with regards to waking up early. And
what
you realize,
day is it?
No, like waking up at 2 when the alarm goes off at 4 and then going back to sleep and then oversleeping the 4 o'clock alarm. I've done that. I've done the once you realize you're dreaming, control the dream. Oh, those are fun.
I've had some rough ones lately, dude.
All you got to do is once you figure out you're dreaming.
I know.
And that's the hard part, that you got to figure out you're dreaming. Then you can control
the dream. I know you can, but this one, and it was on the 7-day road trip, I could not get off of that subject. I was like, you know you're dreaming. I'm talking to myself.
Mm-hmm.
Change it. And I couldn't change it.
Usually the second I can realize that I'm changing, that I'm dreaming, I start to float. And then I'm flying wherever I want to go. Like, that's the trigger.
Like White Shrewd and Second Life.
More like Superman, actually. You know, flying in. Or Neo from Matrix. Now, I cannot tell you how many times I've fallen asleep and been awoken by something that I had fallen asleep to. Like the Matrix title screen on the DVD menu. Many times. I've fallen asleep before Follow the White Rabbit and woken up to the title screen more than I would like to admit.
Man, well, there's something. If you find what makes you comfortable and what makes you happy, that helps you go to sleep. And my soothing thing right now is Community. I don't know sure. why, but I'll fall asleep in season two and wake up at season three. Because Netflix would stop it. Peacock just lets it run.
Lets it run.
You ever been crazy woken up by something like that, Lucas?
Not
a voice?
Not that I can say I have. No, not yet.
I wish it would have been James Earl Jones' voice. What's your favorite roller coaster?
It doesn't exist anymore, at least as far as I know. And actually, Joyland bought it, but the city of Lubbock wouldn't let him put it up because it was too tall. It's called Grease Lightning. It was a straight shot where you would do a front loop. You'd get kicked up about, 65, 75 feet, whatever it was, right? And then you go back across the same track, do a back loop and back, and then it would stop. That is my all-time favorite roller coaster. I would ride that all day, every day.
Sounds fun. I love that Superman one, that Six Flags. I've been to Six Flags.
The one you're lying down on, like you're...
No, that's Batman, I think.
Okay.
I think.
Well, it's your ride.
Superman shoots you out of the tunnel a million miles an hour, and you go straight up, and then it bends you, come straight down like a...
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Woo! That'd be fun.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Yo, it's Ask the Benchwarmers, as you just heard. Get your questions in to the 8th Flooring Center chat line. We'll take those all the way up until the top. We'll hand it off to the bottom line. The 100.7 The Score mobile app is presented by Happy State Bank, a Dos Jefes edition of the program. Just went back and watched Walk Like an Egyptian for the first time in 20 years.
Oh, really?
Still good. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
First time in 20 years?
Yeah, probably.
Man.
Well, we were corny.
I may watch that video once every 6 months. Then again, I'm not married, so that helps. I don't have to justify it to anybody.
Yeah.
It's a good song. Like, even without the look, it's a good song.
Hacks, big favor to ask of you. I can't listen to y'all and my Aggie baseball at the same time. Can you give score updates? Where?
Are they playing? Actively?
Oh, yeah, they're playing right now. For the next...
10 minutes?
10 minutes, I'll give you an update. I got you. I'm sorry. I was a little slow on that one.
You were not going to do it later. Later.
Right.
No. That's a great way for us to turn off the radio.
0-0 top of the third.
There you go.
With the Roll Tidesters. That is in Tuscaloosa. Fortune 500 company getting in the NIL game. Yeah, we talked about that. FedEx giving $25 million to Memphis. What do you get when you cross FedEx with UPS?
Fed up.
Ha-ha!
Dad jokes coming up in the next set.
Thriller was everything, but Off the Wall is still Mike's best album. Having music on demand has changed things quite a bit, yet you don't have to listen to the radio and wait.
Off the Wall call is and really request. Good. See, I have to go back and forth between Bad and Thriller. Which one of those I Thriller is more powerful, don't get me wrong. And it's got my all-time favorite, one of my all-time favorite songs on there in Man in the Mirror. But Bad was so good.
Why do you and Choice like Man in the Mirror so much? It's good, but...
Music for me is about the emotion that it invokes. Whether it be happy, sad, thought-provoking, reflective, whatever it is.
John Cicada.
Oh, that's just fun. But Men in the Mirror kind of hits a lot of those all at the same time. I'm starting with me. I can't fix everything around me is garbage. And I can't fix everything, but I can fix me. And I can do it today. And there's a lot of growing up in that time that hits special little sensors that if you weren't there and experiencing the things at that time that it made sense, it's never going to hit.
Benchwarmers, would it be worth seeing Terry Clark in concert at the casino in Hinton, Oklahoma?
I looked up the ticket prices. They range from like 25 to 65, I think, is where the best seats are you can available right now. Would I go see Terry Clark for $25? Yeah, sure. I like a lot of her music. I wouldn't be upset at spending, an evening looking at live entertainment. Sure. Those aren't close seats. Let's make this clear. Would I spend the $65? Probably not. So, judge accordingly. Now, I don't know anything about the casino she's playing at. I have no... If you like gambling, and that's a good casino, go for it.
Hinton's not terribly far either. Just south of I-40, western Oklahoma. We have Gigum on the chat line. We have...
That's a great way to get blocked, guys. No, I'm kidding. I'm not blocking anybody today.
Depends on what she looks like now for Terry Clark.
I'd still listen.
Think Tech has a decent chance of landing Johan Traore. I think that's how you say his name.
As good as anybody else?
Yeah, I've been after this guy for a long time. Now he's in the portal. I would say if you get him on campus, yes. If you don't get him on campus, no. Because Grant's had a lot of success. If he can just get guys here.
Which is not like a hard thing to do. We got an airport.
We got an airport.
It's got full service and everything.
Yeah.
There's even peanut service where you're going. So, you know. See, that's funny because, you know, peanuts on the plane. As opposed to, never mind. Not funny if you have to explain it, right?
Nope. Hey, Hacks, got a friend that says he is a Tech fan, but he's also a Florida fan and keeps throwing last year's regional around in my face and keeps doing the gator chop. What do I do?
Punch him in the nose. No, don't do that.
Get a new friend. Golly, man. I mean, look, if you can't go to Omaha with that bunch, then you got big problems. I mean, Tech was not even close to Florida. Talent-wise, depth, athletically,
sure.
And you beat them in the first game, and then you lost the next two. Florida was way better than us, and Tech gave them all they had. You should say there's no way you should have gone up there and finished anything but first in Omaha. Congratulations on taking all that talent. Wyatt Langford, Jack Caglione, Wyatt Langford starting for the Rangers.
In the World Series.
Like 10 months after the regional, and you guys couldn't take that and turn it into a championship. So, yeah, you got us, but you also failed, in my opinion.
See, I just remind them that, y'all won that one, but y'all were still making up for the one that we beat you in Omaha with.
They beat us too.
Again, they're still making up for that one. Greatest relay throw of my life that I've ever seen was in that game.
In your life, have you ever seen anything like that?
Nope.
Vern. Salute to Vern Lundquist, who finished up his master's career. What a stud. Shelley says, not for $5 or a dollar, really, when it comes to going to see Terry Clark. Not a fan.
I guess she's got better things to do.
That's another 90s.
That's a Terry Clark song. Ah, well, poor, poor, pitiful me.
Wow. You are playing the role of country DJ, aren't you?
I did for 10 years. I played a lot of it.
So did you ever...
Did y'all know she was born in Canada?
I did. Her and Shania Twain.
You ever played that long trip and you're spinning the radio around trying to identify the artist game?
It took, from when I was let go, it took a year for me not to know song, title, and artist on one of the three country stations in town that we had at any given time. It took a year.
There's a certain guy you don't want to play in this, okay? It's part you. Okay, so my buddy Chad McKee.
Okay.
Grew up in Shawnee. Grew up in a lot of hip-hop culture. He saw Eazy-E in Oklahoma City. And
sure.
So that was his kind of music. So he knew that sect of tunes. Then he became a country DJ. And this guy just had all the bases covered.
Mm-hmm.
I never beat him in the music trivia game once.
I got a friend that could beat everybody on song, title, and artist until I started working at the country station. And his comment was, well, it took a DJ to beat me. And that's, I mean, he knew them all, like going back all the way to Hank Sr. up till today. But that was his genre. Like, that was his favorite.
The only way I could get him is if it was alternative or metal. Because he also had the hairband stuff covered, too. Golly, man, did he ever. He was really good at that. Get out of here with that gig'em crap. Hashtag disgusting is how we'll leave you with this weekend.
I mean, just warning you. That's all I'm saying. You can get in trouble for that around here.
Get in trouble a lot of ways, so that's why we're done. We're going to hand it off. Bottom line is coming up next. Thanks for everybody listening and writing in. For Jeff McGuire, who stepped in for David Collier and Lucas White, I'm Jeff Haxton. Tune in to us tonight at 6 o'clock as we'll have Tech Baseball against West Virginia on Double T97.3. Have a great weekend.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.